This conference will now be recorded.
It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor. Amy Kulkarni is fund manager and founder of Candor Investing. He invests in the Indian public markets in companies deriving their competitive advantage from unique and/or innovative business models. This means bottom-up stock picking of businesses that don't require external capital, have the ability to grow for several years into the future, and are run by honest and hungry management. Amy partners with select individuals, trusts, family offices to manage their equity investments. He believes that patient capital is critical to success in the stock market. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Amy. Please go ahead.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for inviting me to present here. So I would quickly introduce today's investment idea. It's a $1.2 billion company listed on the Indian stock exchanges, KRBL Limited. What does it do? It is into selling of branded basmati rice. Now, let us have a look at the rice industry, the global rice industry. So the global rice industry is an agricultural commodity. Total world rice production was about 487 million tons in 2018. The basmati rice production in India was only about 9 million tons, which is only 2% of the global production. What is basmati rice in specific? It is a premium variety of rice preferred by millions of consumers over most other varieties of rice. It is a long-grained aromatic rice, which is a GI tagged product, which means it is grown only in the Gangetic plains of India and Pakistan. Now, before we deep dive into the investment idea, let us look if the company is actually worth our time to investigate further. So if we look at the average return on equity over a 10-year period, it was about 22% for this company. And the profit growth over the last 10 years has been about 22%. The operating margins of this company have been steady and have actually improved in the last 5 years from 15% to 22%. The debt to equity ratio has consistently fallen from 1.4 to 0.5, which means the business has actually become more and more robust. And what has happened to the stock price? In the last 16 years, the stock has gone up 230 times, which means $1 invested has become $230 in this time period. So this company definitely is worth investigating further. So let us look at what is the market for basmati rice. The major rice eating regions of the world are China, Japan, and Southeast Asia, which is the ASEAN countries. They mainly eat what is called as sticky rice. The rice is basically sticky. And countries like India, Africa, and the Middle East, or the Gulf countries like UAE, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Qatar, Oman, these countries eat non-sticky rice, which means the rice that is cooked doesn't stick, you know, the grains don't stick to each other. On top of this, each region has their own varieties of rice, and each region's consumers have their own preferences of what is a premium rice and what is not a premium rice based on their palate, you know, and their taste preferences. So basmati rice is an aspirational product for consumers in India, the Gulf countries, and Africa. And of course, the Indian diaspora who lives in Europe, America, China, Hong Kong, and Australia. Let us look at how India became the basmati king of the world. So basmati rice has traditionally been growing in India since centuries. However, it is a very difficult crop to grow, and it remained the food for the rich for a long time. Traditional basmati varieties grow very tall, up to 1.5 meters, and lodging due to strong winds is quite common. Now, once this crop falls, the yield drastically reduces, and mostly the poor farmers actually end up losing all their investment for the entire year. Now, around 2003, an interesting development happened when the Indian Agricultural Research Institute came up with a new type of basmati seed through hybridization, and it was called Pusa 1121. Now, what happened because of this seed is that the height of the Pusa 1121 variety was 1.2 meters as compared to 1.5 meters for the traditional basmati. The maturity time was 20 days lesser than traditional basmati, and the water requirement was drastically lesser. And the most important thing was that the yield per hectare actually became 5 times that of traditional basmati. So it became quite remunerative for the farmers to grow this new type of basmati. But there was one problem. Pusa 1121 was not recognized as basmati rice since its immediate parent was not a traditional basmati seed. Then the Indian government actually formalized the definition of basmati somewhere around 2005, and it defined basmati rice as having a length of 6.6 millimeter to 7.5 millimeter or more, a length to width ratio of more than 3, and rice that elongates by 2 or more times on cooking. And of the cooked rice should have a distinct aroma, and the grains should be separate. That means they should be absolutely non-sticky. Now, after this change in definition, it took another 3 years for the Pusa 1121 seed variety to be notified as basmati rice. Now, KRBL had already positioned itself to benefit from this notification. And in the next 10 years, India's share in global basmati exports significantly increased. So here is a graph of the total basmati exports from India to the world over the last 16 years. And after 2008, we observe that there was a phenomenal growth in the exports from, say, about 1.2 million tons to nearly 4 million tons per year. What is the business model of KRBL? KRBL is an integrated retailer of basmati rice, which is present right from the farm to the plate of the consumer. So it is present across the entire value chain. So it also develops the seeds that go into the making of basmati crop. So in fact, KRBL was the pioneer in the development of the Pusa 1121 seed, where it partnered with the Indian Agriculture Research Institute to get this variety developed. So KRBL has a 300 hectare seed farm, seed development farm, and it has a contact manufacturing, contact farming with about 90,000 farmers. So basmati is actually grown only once a year, only during May to October. All procurement happens in the months of October and November. So the procurer has to judge the person who is actually buying these, basmati paddy from the farmers has to judge the paddy quality, yield, and price on the spot. And it's a massive exercise. So typically, this is how an open outcry auction happens at the agricultural markets across India. Now, since the procurement season only consists of 2 months, just the unloading, quality testing, grading, and quality assurance is a massive exercise, with about 700 trucks being unloaded every day during procurement season at the KRBL factory alone. Now, what is most important part of the entire link is that basmati rice actually enhances its characteristics if it is stored and aged for about 2 years in warehouses. So in this figure, if you actually see, the rice which is not aged is after cooking is only about 16 millimeters in length, whereas the rice which is stored in warehouses for 2 years and then cooked is about 22 millimeters in length. And this is the difference that KRPL makes with most other companies, because it has huge warehousing facilities and the financial power to actually carry so much inventory for 2 years to be able to age the rice. And this is what finally the cooked delicious basmati rice looks like. Now, let us look at the brands that the KRBL has. So if you look at the market share in India, KRBL is the leading brand in India with about 35% market share. If we look at just the tier one towns, the metro cities and the class one towns, KRBL has almost a 40% market share in India. And in rural areas, KRBL has a market share of about 45%. The Dawat brand of basmati rice from LT Foods is a close competitor at number two. Volume wise, both are similar, with actually Dawat being ahead of KRBL. But in KRBL, brands command a premium over all other brands of rice because they age up to 2 years, whereas Dawat ages the rice between 9 months to about 18 months to 20 months. Now let us look at the global global positioning of KRBL brands. So the biggest market for basmati rice is actually the Middle East, which means Saudi Arabia, Iran are the biggest consumers, UAE, Iraq, Oman, Qatar are close behind. So if we actually see the Indian, the India gate, the KRBL brand is the largest in Qatar. It has a dominant position in Oman. It has almost a 20% market share in Kuwait. It is a dominant brand, the number one brand in Bahrain and Lebanon. And almost in UAE, it commands a market share of almost 35%, which is huge. In North Africa, again, it is one of the most, is one of the leading brands. And in South Africa, it commands a market share of about 30%. In fact, even in Australia and New Zealand, it commands a market share of about 26%. So it's a very strong brand preferred by consumers both in India and across the globe. So it exports to about 80 countries across the globe. One of the other key features of KRBL is that it is present across the entire value chain, across the entire price points. What happens during processing of rice is that sometimes the rice grain actually breaks because of the processing machinery. Now the characteristics of the basmati are still intact. However, the length of the grain is reduced. So what the company actually does is that it sells at a lesser price point, what is called as Dubar rice, which is about 75% of the original length, or Tibar rice, which is about 60% of the original length, or Mogra rice, Mogra basmati rice, which is lesser than 50% of the original length of the grain. So nothing actually goes waste when processing the rice, and every consumer, depending on his paying capacity, is actually able to consume basmati rice because of the prevalence of these different varieties of basmati rice in the market. So let us look at how the basmati retailing market is actually changing. So the traditional retail used to happen at a shopkeeper's place that you see on the left side of your screen. Typically, the customer stands, you know, outside the shop, and all the items are stored inside the shop. Shopkeeper has direct influence on customer choices. And so the customer is actually physically away from the product he buys. So brand naturally plays a smaller role, and the shopkeeper's recommendation is given a lot of weightage. What is happening over the last 10 years, specifically in India, is that modern retail is growing extremely fast and is catching up. It is estimated that modern retail is not even 10% today of the entire retail market. But in modern retail, customer makes his own choice. He's able to touch the product, he's able to touch the packaging, he's able to see the packaging, compare it, and then make his own choice. There is no person to necessarily assist him with choosing the product. So naturally, the customer goes for the customer in modern retail is more brand conscious and quality conscious, apart from just the price. So organized brands have an advantage when it comes to modern retail over traditional retail. But at the same time, basmati rice sells, both branded basmati rice sells equally well in traditional as well as modern retail. The only difference is that because of this phenomena, it is estimated that 50% of the basmati rice is actually with unorganized and unbranded players who sell the rice loose, which means the customer actually takes the shopkeeper's word for the quality and the consistency of the rice. Now let us look at the peers of KRBL, India Gate Basmati Rice. So this is an extract from the qualified institutional placement document of the next biggest competitor, which is LT Foods. So what it says, we face competition from other large basmati rice companies, including KRBL, Kohinoor, Lakshmi Energy Foods, and various other smaller unorganized processors. As basmati rice is a product that is protected by geographical indications internationally, we face limited competition on a global scale. However, we face competition from a few basmati rice companies in Pakistan, which contributes approximately 10% of the world's basmati rice, which means on a global scale, India is 90% of the market. However, about 50% of the domestic market is, and in fact, the global market is also is also made up by unorganized players. Now, there is one more interesting part to notice here, that all the big FMCG players in the world, like Unilever and the likes, have not been successful in the basmati rice segment. So if we actually analyze, Hindustan Unilever, which is the Indian subsidiary of the global giant Unilever Limited, has sold its basmati branded rice business to L&T Foods, LT Foods in 2018. And what was the price at which they sold, which is about 25 crores, which is not even $4 million. So HUL actually began exporting premium basmati rice in 1985 under the brand Gold Seal to various countries in the Middle East and Europe, which was subsequently extended to other brand geographies, which means a business that they were in for almost 30 years, a global giant like Hindustan Unilever, they were not even able to scale up this business so as to be able to sell the entire business for even $4 million. Let us look at the peer comparison. I have compared KRBL numbers with four of its listed peers, which even the qualified institutional placement document mentions that these are the major organized competitors of, in the basmati business. So operating margins are the best for KRBL. Return on equity is almost superior to everybody else except Chamanlal Sethia. Debt to equity ratio is also amongst the best in class, and the profit growth over 10 years has been quite good. In fact, Kohinoor and Lakshmi have made losses over the last several years. And in fact, for Kohinoor Foods, even the net worth is negative. So Chamanlal Sethia does come close. So let us look at whether KRBL is better or Chamanlal Sethia is better. And we will look at what the competitor actually had to say about KRBL in one of its earnings calls on 11th June 2018. So the questioner actually, the analyst asked the chairman of Chamanlal Sethia, with increasing spends on advertising, what is your estimate about margin improvement? So the answer given by Chamanlal Sethia's chairman is KRBL with its branded products is able to command a higher price of around rupees 3 per kg, which is about 5 to 10% higher realization. We are making margins of around 10%, whereas KRBL is able to make margins of about 20%. So scope of improving margins is considerable. Another question was asked on the same conference call. What is the impact of the newly introduced goods and services tax? So he replies, there is 0% tax on rice. Only branded rice attracts 5% tax. We sell to wholesalers who want unbranded rice. Only India Gate, that is KRBL and Dawat brands are winners, and retailers have to stock these brands because they sell. Which means Chamanlal Sethia, after the introduction of the tax, was finding it difficult to convince the retailers and the wholesalers to stock its brand. Whereas he says both KRBL and LT Foods are demanded by the consumers. So they are must stock items for the retailers and the wholesalers. Now let us look at what the basmati consumption pattern in India is. Though precise data is not very easily available, we can derive some intelligent estimates. So the total paddy production in India, basmati paddy production in India in 2018 was about 9 million tons. So when this paddy is actually processed and converted into rice, the recovery is about 6.3 million tons. India's population is estimated at about 1.3 billion people. Out of this 6.3 million tons of rice, 4.1 million tons is exported, which means the domestic consumption was about 2.2 million tons. So if we consider the per capita rice consumption in India, it is about 75 kgs. And the per capita basmati rice consumption comes to only a meager 1.7 kgs. Which means if we assume that the bottom 80% people by income levels don't consume basmati at all, and only the top 20% of the Indian population consumes basmati, even if it is occasional, then what we get as a derived number is that the top 20% of India eats basmati 7 weeks out of 52 weeks in the year. Now, India is a very fast growing economy and it has grown at about an average of 6.5 to 7% over the last 27 years, with an average inflation of between 4 to 5 years, which means a nominal GDP in India has been growing over the last 25 to 27 years at a rate of between 10 to 11%. So what do different studies across the globe talk about the middle class consumption that is going to happen in India? So it is estimated that the middle class consumption in India is going to explode over the next 10 years. And China and India will actually be will have the middle classes, which will be the biggest consumer markets in the world, with China being number one and India being number two. Which means, as in the past, the basmati supply rather than the demand will remain the constraint. Since basmati is an aspirational consumption item, as India grows richer and richer from a per capita income of only $2,000, the basmati consumption is expected to increase exponentially. Let us look at the valuation of KRBL. So the market capitalization as on 27th March 2019 was about $1.2 billion. Since KRBL ages the rice and keeps it in its warehouses for 2 years, we are reducing the inventory from its to come to the figure for the enterprise value. This inventory can easily be liquidated, sold off to wholesalers and consumers, and money be recovered. So this inventory is actually valued at cost, not at selling price. So the enterprise value comes to about $0.92 billion. The operating EBIT for this company is about $110 million. Now, even if we assume that for some reason KRBL is not able to do as good as it has done in the last few years, and its margins actually contract from 22% to 20%, the adjusted EBIT comes to about $98 million, which means KRBL is available at EV by EBIT multiple of just 9.2. Let us come to risks. Now, the cumulative profit, what risks are there in this investment? So the cumulative profit after tax over the last 10 years is about 2,217 crores, whereas the cash flow that the company has been able to make over the 10 years is only 130 crores. So KRBL seems to be a cash guzzling machine. But we need to dig a little deeper. So receivable days has stayed between 30 to 40 days in the last 10 years, which means more working capital has been used for inventory as the sales have grown for this company, which is quite natural because basmati rice needs to be aged and stored in warehouses for about 2 years to get the better characteristics of rice and command the price premium. So inventory turnover has also stayed between 1.5 to 2 in the last 10 years. So that's not also not a problem. However, the fixed assets have increased from 217 crores to 982 crores in the last 10 years, which is a substantial jump. However, if we actually see, this is not a fixed asset heavy business. It's a working capital heavy business. It needs a lot of inventory, but it does not need so much fixed capital. So where has all these investments gone into? So the company has actually set up about 150 megawatt of wind energy farms all across the country. This is because the Indian government had special capital subsidies and tax breaks and remunerative fixed tariffs for wind energy over the last 10 years. And KRBL, having the money, has taken advantage of these subsidies and put up about 150 megawatt of wind farms. The Indian government changed its tariff setting policy for wind in 2018 and introduced competition. So KRBL has also declared that they will not invest in the energy business in the future, which means this was a tactical advantage that the company took of certain tax breaks and incentives by the government. Now, interesting development has happened 2 months back. In January, the company received a tax demand notice of about 1170 crores, which is equivalent to 2 years of profit before tax. The tax demand notice pertains to disallowance of paddy rice, paddy rice purchases from farmers for the years between 2010 and 2017, which means the income tax department is actually saying that the expenses shown by the company are non-existent, are fake. So the management position is that this has to do with the way the procurement happens. India has a lot of restrictions when it comes to agricultural purchases, and companies cannot go directly to the farmer and purchase the commodity or rice or any other agricultural commodity or farm produce. They have to go through what are called as agricultural produce marketing committees. Except a few states have actually changed the laws, which means KRBL was able to purchase the rice paddy directly from farmers in one of the states of India, which was Uttar Pradesh state. However, since these farmers are very poor and most of them did not have bank accounts till before 2016, all the payment was made in cash. KRBL claims that they have third-party documentary evidence to support all the purchases. However, this will be an interesting development to watch in the future in the next 6 to 9 months as to what happens to this tax demand. The similar payments for paddy rice purchases for other states like Punjab and Haryana were actually made through the banking channels because middlemen were involved, which means the KRBL gave money through banking channels to the middlemen, and the middlemen actually paid cash to the farmer for the procurement of rice paddy. Another risk is that KRBL's company's name has cropped up in one of the corruption scandals for defense procurement in India. This is quite a high flyer corruption scandal, which is hogging the news headlines in India. And in fact, one of the ex-independent directors, Gautam Khaitan, had also been arrested by the Enforcement Directorate in connection with this Augusta Westland helicopter scam. The former director was actually made to resign from the board in April 2014 when his name first figured in the scam. And it is also alleged that one of the step-down subsidiaries was used to route the bribe money. Step-down subsidiaries actually in United Arab Emirates was used to route the bribe money by the middleman. The amounts involved are not very significant. They are about $10 million is what is alleged. The company management has been questioned in this regard since 2014, several times since 2014. However, no charges have yet been pressed against the company. So it seems unlikely that the company will be involved. And even if some cockroaches do turn up, typically the end consumer does not bother or is not aware of such news items that they will stop buying the basmati rice. If they like the rice, if they like the brands of KRBL, they will continue to buy. This is an unknown kind of a risk, and in fact something that is very difficult to explain. So the directors of the company have actually given interest-free loans to the company over the last 4 years. The quantums of these interest-free loans are quite small, which is about $5 to $7 million. The company has been borrowing through lot of financial institutions, and the debt as of March 2018 on the balance sheet was about $200 million, which means the company does not find it very difficult to borrow from organized financial institutions like banks and other institutions. However, why does it need to borrow interest-free loans from the directors is something which is a mystery. So to summarize, a high quality franchise with superior execution track record to peers, better than industry financial metrics in terms of return on equity, debt profile, operating margins, established brands across the globe, a company that is admired by its peers in an industry which is structurally growing and enjoys a leading position in the high potential domestic market of India, is available at a cheap earnings multiple of EV by EBIT of only 9. So this is a very obvious buy in my opinion. Thank you.
Well, Amy, thank you very much for the presentation. Maybe just on that last slide where you show EV to EBIT of 9, what is the corresponding PE multiple?
The PE multiple comes to about 17.
17, okay.
Yes.
When it comes to capital allocation of the company, yes, would you like to see the management team prioritize anything differently than they are doing now?
So if we look at the history of the company, it has not had to raise any external capital for the last more than 10 to 15 years. If we look at the peers, a lot of their peers have actually gone bankrupt, and their biggest competitor, which is LT Foods, has actually raised external money just 1.5 years back. So in my opinion, they are allocating the capital really well, and they have the flexibility because they command a premium in the market for their products. If you also look at the tactical thing that they did about investing in the wind energy assets, That was a very smart move, because between 2010 and 2017 was a period when the government was very desperate to increase the share of renewable energy in India. So they had given huge tax incentives to anybody and everybody who would come forward and set up the plants. So I think they have done a good, overall, they have done a very good job in capital allocation.
And you talked about a few risks there. If this idea does not work out, let's say over the next year or two, which risk do you think would be most responsible for it? In other words, which risk is top of mind for you and something that concerns you the most?
So there are two types of risks. One is those of one of those non-operating reasons, like the tax demand. Or the name that has actually figured in their in the defense procurement scam, that would be kind of a black swan kind of an event. However, we will need to see how much impact does it actually have on the business. If we look at the operating risk, the company has actually been able to garner far better operating margins than all of its peers for a long time now. So we need to keep on checking whether that is still the case, because every now and then big multinationals want to enter this business, but basmati rice business is a very difficult business to do because typically it's an agricultural commodity with its own cycles of up and down. So that needs to be seen whether they are still able to maintain their advantage in terms of branding, in terms of pricing, in terms of market share, both in India and outside India.
And if somebody wants to track this company over time, what would you say would be the key data points to keep an eye on to either validate or challenge your thesis?
So one is, of course, profitability. Is it able to maintain profitability at the high rates that it has been able to do? The second is the Indian domestic market. So this company will not be able to grow very fast in terms of 25-30% every year. The population is not increasing so high. So essentially the company grows by taking away market share from either other competitors or converting somebody who is eating normal rice or the usual variety of rice to basmati rice. So one needs to check that, whether the trend in basmati consumption is actually increasing year on year, and is there volume growth for this company? That is critical.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to be here and present your research with our community. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, John. It was a pleasure.
And to all of you listening, feel free to follow up with Amy directly or contact us, and we will be happy to provide an introduction. Goodbye for now.